Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 578. We're in Binyan Abayis, Living Marriage, Teachings of Rav Moshe Shachadowitz, written by Rav Mendel Weiss. And we're going to start lesson number 9. Lesson number 9 is titled Individuality and Intimacy. So he first talks about how there are three categories of a person's actions. There is forbidden actions. Those are the lavim and the Torah that the Torah does not allow. That's called iser. Then there is chayva or mitzvah, obligatory actions, like the mitzvah saseh, the things you have to do in the Torah. Number three, which is we're going to really emphasize a lot on in this lesson, is reshus. Reshus is actions that are permitted to be performed at one's own discretion. They're called reshus because it's up to the person to decide whether they are fitting or not. This aspect of reshus is not just pertaining to Torah, but in every position of responsibility, every moment of life. The concept of what the Chazal say, these two maimarim. Number one, the chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, that all your actions should be l'shem shamayim, means not just mitzvahs and or not doing averis, but the every act that you do, that is reshus. And another pasuk, bechol derechecha da'ehu, in all your ways, know him. In every person, in his own way, his personality, know Hashem. People aren't machines. They face decisions and they have to make judgments that aren't black and white. You know, yes, you have court cases, judge rules this way or that way, but in some areas, it's within a jurisdiction of a judge to decide what to do. Doesn't mean he could do anything he wants. It's not a hefkervelt. There is a responsibility, but to use your judgment. And that's what we need to do in this reshus, which is unique, to use your judgment. We'll see very shortly how this comes into play when it comes to marriage and Mrs. Aina in particular. Right? Here's an example. A worker is pumping gas at a gas station. You don't have this so often. In New Jersey, it's still required. Usually people do it on their own these days. But if you do it, as an example, he says, you could decide, are you going to smile at your customers or are you going to give them the cold shoulder? Every time you're sitting down to eat, you're eating kosher food. You're kosher food and you're making a bracha, but you could decide what you will eat, how you will eat, how much you will eat. So even in actions, also that are chayvim, you could still make decisions like that. For example, a person has to wear tefillin, right? So that is an obligation. How much money did you spend on it? You give tzedakah. How much leeway to decide how much to give and not to give? The list goes on and on and on and on. But the idea being, and this is the key to life, some actions allow for a man to make a contribution based on his judgment, and it's very, very important. So the idea of reshus, that Hashem placed in us the free will to make our own decisions as the greatest expression of being created in the image of Hashem, Tzelem Elokim, that Hashem is Melech Malchei Melochim over the whole creation and runs it according to his understanding. And he gave man the ability, every woman the ability, to have jurisdiction over many, many things in their own life, is a tremendous power, and that's where the Pesach of the highest growth is. That realm of reshus is different than obligations because the commandments are equal for all people, generally speaking. Everyone, Moshe Rabbeinu had to wear tefillin, and the biggest tzaddik, or what's considered a regular simple Jew, they all have to wear tefillin. Areas of reshus is different. It is what Hashem wants for you from you in that situation. Reshus is a unique connection to Hashem by the individual person and the individual person to Hashem. It's the personal connection between the two of them, between Hashem and the Nivra, between Hashem and the created being. There could be times where one person acts one way, another person would act the opposite way, and they're both correct. Because in their tchunas hanefesh, in their personality, in that situation, they have to act in opposite ways. Even one person sometimes, in one matzav, they'll act a certain way, in the other matzav, they'll act in a opposite, seemingly opposite way, and they're correct both times, because a person's not static. Every midah, Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about this a lot, every midah could be used in different ways, and you have to know how to use it. Intimacy. Yes, there are things that are usser, and there are things that are mechayev. That's true. And most paiskim, I don't want to get into halachic things, there's a lot of leeway in halacha of a broad level of intimacy where it's not usser, and it may not be a chiv either. It's like a wide range of things within intimacy that is reshus. And just like you can't turn a mitzvah or something that's usser into reshus, you cannot treat reshus that it's a black and a white. If the Torah says something is usser, clear cut, that's one thing. Or to add another mitzvah, you're not allowed to do that. That's another thing. But here, in intimacy, there's such a range. You go to whatever place you want to go, but even in those paiskim or those who you ask that are very, very liberal, obviously in Shulchan Aruch, in intimacy, you have some that would gear towards the left, some towards the right. Some are very literal and strict interpretation. Some are more loose and open interpretation. I don't want to get into that now. I think over excessive chumras on this area is dangerous, but let's give an assumption that there is a wide range of things that are totally mutter. Technically mutter, totally mutter, or you were told no problem whatsoever, and you have a free range to do a lot of things in the intimate life. There's something called the fifth Shulchan Aruch. Common sense and intimacy calls on a couple, a husband and wife, to accept the responsibility of using their good judgment. When you do this correctly, you could go to the highest, highest levels. If you misuse it, you could become a novel b'rshus ha'tayvara. Novel b'rshus ha'tayvara means you're disgraceful in the eyes of Hashem. It's a severe transgression. But it's technically not being over on a specific thing in the Torah. But the chiddush is, we're going to talk about this, generally speaking, when we say novel b'rshus ha'tayvara, again, that's the interpretation of the Ramban in Kedoshim Tiyu. We're not going to go into the arichas of all of the concepts behind it. We had this in other Shurim. There's a Yismach Moshe on Kedoshim Tiyu that talks about it, that we talked about a few times here. But the bottom line is that Novel B'Shus HaTaira, generally speaking, is that when something is permitted technically, but you do it in a very loose, prikas oil way, in a very light and coarse way, it's technically mutter, but you do it in a coarse way, in a degrading way, that is novel b'rshus ha'tayra. You are not violating the Torah per se technically, but you are violating the spirit of the Torah. But novel b'rshus ha'tayra could be the other way around too. If you're too machmer, you're too distant, you're too pulled away in the idea of intimacy, you withdraw, sometimes with a misguided concept of what you think Kedusha is, or whatever the case may be, that's also a novel b'rshus ha'tayra. It's usually not looked at it that way, because 98% of the time, the b'china of novel b'rshus ha'tayra is when you go in excess in something that's mutter, and you go overboard with that, that you're not over, you didn't commit an aveira, but you went overboard on the what is permitted, and overindulged. That's generally what novel b'rshus ha'tayra means. But there is a concept of being a novel b'rshus ha'tayra the other way around, where you're overly machmer as well. So for the sake of simplicity and convenience or confusion, what people try to do is, they with intimacy, and this is a big problem, they consider it a static activity, precise, robotic, exact rules, and that is very, very unhealthy. One of the Gedolim, he didn't say what the Gadol told him this, but one of the Gedolim said regarding this behavior, listen carefully, I'm going to quote this. One who asks questions in order to find the exact definition about this topic, meaning intimacy, obviously doesn't understand intimacy. And a rabbi who answers such questions should not be trusted to answer any questions. If a Gadol, whatever Pesach you are, has whatever b'chinas of how they interpret intimacy in halacha, if they answer questions based on exact definitions of what exactly they see in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what they give a couple advice on, they should not be trusted with any type of question. You always have to use that fifth Shulchan Aruch when you're dealing with individuals, when you're dealing with couples. And many times, unfortunately, most people, many couples, find it difficult to make their own decisions. They don't know what to do. And they lack this ability to assess it. and sometimes they're embarrassed to tell a paisika and ask them about it. And sometimes, unfortunately, there's some that just have this black and white type of mode in the way they look at the Shulchan Aruch, and they can't advise the couple properly, like this Gadol said. He says as follows, I asked Rav Shneur Cutler, Rav Moshe says, I asked Rav Shneur Cutler what a person without Das is supposed to do. You know, what is he supposed to do if he doesn't have that fifth Shulchan Aruch about intimacy? What is he supposed to do? He didn't like the question, Rav Shneur Cutler. He didn't like the question at all. He explained to Rav Moshe, he said, Hashem doesn't create such people. Where did such people come from? Although their parents trained them to do mitzvahs, they weren't allowed to make their own decisions or use their own judgments. That was the problem. So parents have to be mechanech, of course, but not as robots. This is a quality which is absolutely required for many mitzvahs, and it's the most prerequisite chiyuv in marriage, in intimacy. Unification of marriage involves around das, vayeda adam eschava. He knew her. Intimacy is das. If you don't have that das, you're not fit to be married in the first place. Therefore, Rav Shneur Cutler concluded the question shouldn't be realistic. Now, it was a very sharp answer, but that's the key to the solution as well. You have to realize if you have difficulty making decisions for whatever reason in any area of life, especially and particularly to intimacy, the power is within you. You're created B'Tzelem Elokim. You have an innate ability to think and to understand and to make decisions. These days, unfortunately, it seems like people lost that ability, like their brains just flew away. These days in our culture, we see that a lot. But we have it within us, and it's never too late to start, to use your seichel the right way. Marriage requires two people to unify, which requires their power of understanding and judgment properly. Every married person, no married person is too small for this. We all have that ability. So the basic yesod of intimacy is based on the reshus element, more than anything else. It's not black and white. It's every individual for every couple, and it's specific. So, but he says, so then Rav Moshe asked them, why am I talking about it if it's, how can I make it general, safer, and with general instructions? The answer is that there are still general principles. They're general principles that allow you and help you make proper judgments, and that's what he's going to discuss in this lesson. And he will address in this topic, which we're going to start in the next year. First, we're going to talk about the wife's reshus areas, and then we're going to talk about the husband's reshus areas and other considerations. It's a very key, important chapter and important lesson. Quality. What is quality? Intimacy requires both a husband and wife to be prepared and to unify physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Those levels. And a husband has to engage first in pius, the verbal courting process, which we talked about in other shiurim. And on the other extreme, to avoid the interactions that lead to the 9 children of rebellion that are created by situations that will not result in that union, whether because they're running after physicality and sexuality in and of itself, they're only running after physicality for the sake of pleasure, or they're not in the state, they're upset at each other in a major way, those things could hold it back. So those are two extremes. One extreme is the positive ideal of always connecting physically, emotionally, and spiritually to perfection. The other extreme is the 9 midos of the negativity where you really can't have relations in those matzavim. Between those two extremes, between them is life, is the whole range of reshus, where a couple works through their own judgments. I'll give you one small example. We talked about it, and we really, if you didn't hear those shiurim in Pure Oneness, Aaron, David Cohn, I think his name is, Matayvu Ayalecha, we had shiurim on intimacy that we talked about this, right? If you're upset about each other in a major way, you can't have relations. That's clear. But if you're going to wait till you feel perfectly about your spouse, that you're not upset about anything, you'll never have relations. So if you use your black and white thinking, anytime you have a tiny little resentment there, which is regular life, regular human being working through emotions, so you won't have relations because you heard it's one of the 9 midas, it's terrible. Your marriage is going to deteriorate. Or if you're sleeping, you know that, or extremely drowsy when you're having relations, so that could be a problem. But everyone is tired, and many often we're tired, very tired, very often, for months and months and months on end, And you're going to say, oh, maybe it's one of those. I won't have relations. Again, terrible decision. So you have a wide range of reshus there where you have to know how to use properly. Quantity, the same thing, is in the realm of reshus. We're going to talk about this later. Do young couples or some people overindulge with the quantity of it and go overboard? Yes, that is true. But in most cases, in most marriages that I've seen and heard about and people have reviewed, the problem is not too much of it, it's too little of it. Because they have a certain standard that they're told X this amount of time, or one time, two times, whatever it is, and they take it as an ironclad black and white rule, and they don't use that fifth Shulchan Aruch to know how and when to increase quantities when necessary and when needed, and the quality as well, or the leeway of heterim as well, and so on and so forth. And that is what we're going to discuss, Be'ezus Hashem, in Lesson 9. The realm of Rishus primarily, and how to use that fifth Shulchan Aruch to apply it to marital intimacy. Bracha v'atzlacha.